God been good to you? How many of you are glad to be saved again? Boy, that's His goodness in a nutshell to us right there. Everything. Matthew chapter 11, the Gospel of Matthew, the 11th chapter. Brother Joel, thank you so much. Always an excellent job of preparing the music and delivering it with such a great spirit of everybody involved, and we thank you for it. Matthew chapter 11, if you found your place or when you find your place, would you go ahead and join us by rising to your feet as we honor the public reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, immutable, irreplaceable, irreversible Word. I love it. We're going to begin our reading in verse number 28, Matthew 11. Look in verse 28. The Bible here declares to us, "Come unto me." This, of course, as you can see, if you have a red letter Bible, this is the words of our Lord. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You don't have to be saved long or be around people who are to recognize some of these verses. They're very familiar in God's Word. I want to share some thoughts with you from them today that the Lord's really helped me with. I want to speak to you on this thought today. I need some R&R. I need some R&R. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The term R&R is likely one that most of us have at least heard, but even possibly used at some point in our life. The term actually represents rest and recreation, recovery, or relaxation, or something of that particular nature. The term actually dates all the way back hundreds of years to a time when governments would send their armed forces, their military, away to secure places so they could gain some R&R from all the different battles that they were raging, the daily grind of the duties that they were in. As a matter of fact, if you were to travel across Europe, Brother Charlie and Doris and Courtney and I saw it a couple of years ago, if you were to travel across Europe, you will find still some of the old R&R German Nazi camps that are now resorts of sorts all around that they've turned into. R&R was a very, very important thing when it comes to this matter of military service and being able to get your mind clear and hit the reset button in your life. It's true that R&R is important, but listen, it's not just important for people who are involved in the armed services. It's not just important for people who may be hardworking in their life. Folks, it is important, this matter of rest and recovery, rest and relaxation. It is important, you see, for those that are carrying the burden of sin, the weight of sin upon their life. Furthermore, it is important for the believer, you and I together, the saint of God today that is just so weighed down, we're just so beat up, we're just so worn out by our service with the Lord, and that wearing down is causing us to have difficulty in other aspects of our life as we are trying to live. I'm sure, I have no doubt at all, there are some of us who may have walked in this building today. We just find ourselves in a place where we need a little bit of R&R. I'm not referring to an R&R where we go to some tropical beach resort somewhere and we'll lay out in the sand, sun, and the surf. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about God's people getting to a place in their life where they find a spiritual oasis, where they have an encounter with God, that God just picks them up and carries them through the difficult days of life and gives them exactly what they need to carry on for Him. Matthew chapter 11, it's here that our Lord is giving us such a wonderful picture of this truth of how we need some R&R. Jesus is teaching His followers about some very important truths in this particular chapter. In the earlier parts of chapter number 11, He was establishing who He was and what He had done and was going to do to all of His followers. And then in verse number 20, He begins dealing with unrepentant cities. And could I encourage you to go and study that truth? You want to see what's going to happen to an unrepentant city or an unrepentant nation? You'll be able to see what Jesus says about that in Matthew chapter 11. But when we come to verse number 28, and on into verse number 30, we find a sudden and a significant shift in the teaching of our Lord. For you see, the nation of Israel, they had not received the Lord Jesus Christ. the way that they should have. And as a matter of fact, as we continue to study and learn, we will see that they rejected him altogether. And it was here that Jesus now turns his message that was to the Jews from a national message to an individual message, people just like you and me. And I'm grateful to God for that. This was a message that was brand new into all of that stiff religious world that they were living in the day of Christ. It was totally new. And the fact is, the people were shocked by the simplicity of the message of Jesus Christ. The message that Jesus was delivering in these verses, it is really has a trifecta of sort applications to all types of people. If you're lost, you're unsaved here today, there is an application for you. If you're saved and you're a child of God, there is an application for you. We can really see three main things that this boils down to in these verses in chapter 11 of the Gospel of Matthew. It is here that the Lord is making an application of salvation, of sanctification. And boy, I tell you, when you get salvation and you get sanctified before God, you are then satisfied with everything else. Those three things, salvation, sanctification, and satisfaction with it all. I want to break these three truths down to you a little bit further today, understanding that these are the words of our Lord, telling that one that is carrying the burden of sin, that they can find rest in Him in salvation, telling the saint of God that is just so weighed down, burdened down, bogged down with everything going on in life, your service to God that is flooding over into your daily life with the Lord. He's telling us you can find some rest as well. He's telling you, I'm going to help you with all of those burdens if you'll just get a little R&R. I need some R&R today. I certainly don't mind admitting that. Write these three truths down. The first thing I want you to get in your heart is the invitation that is extended. This is where our Lord deals with this matter of salvation. The invitation that is extended. These words that we see in verse number 28, we see this invitation extended for the sinner to come to the Savior in salvation. The rest of these verses, they would make no sense whatsoever. Verses 29 and verses 30, they'd make no sense at all were it not for somebody coming to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. They would yield no benefit at all. We see such a beautiful picture of this matter. It points, first of all, I want you to think about this, points first of all about how there is a personal plea that comes from our Lord. A personal plea, you see it in verse 28. He says, come ye sinners. I tell you, isn't that precious? Those words just get into my heart. He says, come ye sinners. You see, this was something, as I mentioned a moment ago, it was brand new to the religious ritualistic world of the day of our Lord when he was living on earth and in his ministry. Up to this point right here, getting to God, you see, required a bunch of people to flawlessly jump through a bunch of different hoops having to do with the old law. And they had to do everything just right. If they wanted to get to God, they had to have everything lined up just perfectly to do that. When we see these words right here, come unto me, we as the believer need to understand how precious those words really are. He was not saying to go and get the perfect sacrificial offering. He was just saying, come unto me. He wasn't saying go and abide by all the rules and the regulations. He was just saying, come unto me. He wasn't saying pray all the long and repetitious prayers. He was just saying, Brother Randy, just come unto me. I tell you, when I consider this wonderful truth, friends, it baffles my mind that the very God of the universe, the God of glory, would look at somebody like me and he would say, I want you. Just simply come unto me. Friend, you may think that you've got it all together. You may think that you've got everything all figured out. You are the perfect little Christian, and it was the privilege of God for you to come into his camp. But I'm here to tell you today, I don't mind admitting that's not me at all. I'm telling you today, friends, I was an absolute mess. If you were to know my life back then, or even if you knew my life today, and if I knew yours, we'd all understand we are an absolute mess. I know who I was. I know exactly how guilty I was, and my life was a mess, and I can't understand for the life of me why a thrice holy God would say, bring all the filth of your mind and bring it to me. Bring all the shameful, immoral, adulterous thoughts and deeds. bring them unto me. Bring all the drug and drunken use of your one body that I gave you and just bring it to me. Bring that lying, low-down, manipulative, good-for-nothing scoundrel of who you really are and just bring it to me. My dear friend, I cannot understand why God would want me to bring who I was to him. My unsaved friend, I want you to know today, you don't have to have it all put together. You don't have to have all the right boxes checked in your life. You don't have to have the spotless past where there's no colorful things that you're ashamed of at all. You see, Jesus specializes in the broken ones. Jesus specializes in the ones that are so confused and so beat down by the burden of sin. You don't have to jump through all of the hoops. Just bring every bit of ruin. Bring every bit of filth. Bring all of the shattered and broken pieces of your life to the foot of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find the rest you need. The invitation that is extended. He doesn't only tell us right here that there was a personal plea from God himself, but then he also talks to us about how that it is a priceless possession. A priceless possession. Look further in verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, look at this, and I will give you rest. He says, I will give you rest. The words, I will give you rest, they are literally, quite literally, meaning I will rest you. In other words, he's saying, there's no place else you're going to be able to get the rest. I am the one that is going to provide the rest that you need for your burden that you are carrying. The burden of sin by which we see in the words heavy laden given to us in verse number 28. They are actually referring to the burden of sin that the sinner carries. You remember when you were lost? You remember when there was just a weight on you? You couldn't figure it out. You couldn't put your finger on what exactly it was, but there was something that just wasn't right. You knew that you had a problem somewhere, and you were just going to bed burdened down with it, waking up burdened down with it. You just didn't understand what it all was. I'm not going to take the time to put all the connections together of all the different words that we are seeing in verse number 28 and how that word labor connects with the word give and how that word's heavy laden. It connects with the word rest that we see at the end of the verse. But when we pull it all together, when we put all of the pieces together, we find that the R&R that our Lord is speaking of, it is something that our God will give us by buying back all of the valueless sin of our life by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on Calvary. Ultimately, what the Lord is saying is the R&R that Christ offers us, this rest and recovery from the sin and the burden that we are carrying, this R&R that Christ offers the sinner, it cannot be bought or it cannot be earned. It is a gift of God. It is a priceless possession. We do not have to work a lifetime to earn it. We do not have to write a check to be able to purchase it. All we have to do is bring ourselves to Him, bring all the searching of our lives, all of the confusion of our lives, all the desperation of our lives, the depression of our lives, the discouragement of our lives. Bring it all to Him. You may be here this morning and you may say, my goodness, I am not in any way confused. I'm not searching. You may be lost in saying this. I'm not searching. I'm not depressed. But you'll also say, I have no interest in spiritual things whatsoever. You may be thinking all those things right now. Could I just graciously tell you, yes, you are. You absolutely are searching. You are confused. And deep down within you, you do have an interest in spiritual things because there is something that God placed within the heart and the soul in the makeup of humanity to know God and to know the purpose of this life. Yes, you are searching. You are looking for things. And though you may not even realize it, though you may not even admit it, you are on a quest for the reason as to why you are placed on this earth, why you are given life, and how you can be happier in it. Lost friend, listen closely to me here today if you're in this building. Listen close to me. The weight of sin is too heavy for you to carry. You won't be able to do it. One way or another, you're going to collapse under it. You've got to have the Lord Jesus. The weight of sin you will never be able to bear. I tell you, this is real in my heart. I remember that day that I surrendered to Him. I remember that day when many of you fell in this place or in your home or wherever. You gave your life to the Lord Jesus. You found the weight of that burden was lifted. And how precious that it really is. Could I encourage you today? Do not ignore. Do not reject the invitation that is extended by our Lord if you're lost here today. But let me move now from the salvation application to this application of sanctification. We not only see the invitation that was extended, but there's also the interaction that is expected. The interaction that is expected. Again, this is where our Lord moves from the application of salvation, following the moment we get saved. Are you following me now? Toward the application of sanctification, in other words, making our lives more like Jesus. A sanctified life, it is a lifelong ordeal. It is a lifelong journey that we are on. I heard somebody say this week, of course, and how accurate it is. Salvation is an instantaneous thing. It happens. But I tell you, this matter of sanctification is a lifelong journey. It is something that we will still be dealing with the very moment that our Lord calls us home. We will not ever arrive in this. Oh, it's right here that God gives us such a wonderful thought and example of this matter of sanctification. Following this moment that we've given our heart to the Lord, we've accepted the invitation that has been extended. We see, first of all here, that there was a proposed endeavor that our Lord gives us. A proposed endeavor in verse number 29. He says, take my yoke upon you. Do you see that? It's personal. He says, take my yoke. It's mine. And I'm going to hand it out to you right now. Take my yoke. That word yoke, it is speaking of a piece of equipment back in these ancient days that would couple two things together. It would couple two things together. And it is giving the idea of one coming under submission to another. Are you hearing me? It's giving us the idea of one coming under submission to the other. Now back in these Bible days, this was a picture of a law of obligation. It would be a contract of sorts that one person would sign with another person. But we've got to remember, God never forces anybody to come to Him. It is an open invitation that our Lord gives. He will never force anybody to come to Him. However, when we make that choice and when we make that decision to come to the Lord, it is then that our God expects us to start doing some things for Him. Expects us to start becoming more like Him, conforming our lives to who He wants us to be. Now, truly, though this happens, now I'm not saying it is, as you'll understand, but though this happens, I do not believe that we should have to attempt to force or to guilt anybody into serving God. I don't believe that. I don't believe we ought to try to force somebody or guilt somebody into it, because somebody that has truly been saved, and again, I want to be gracious here, but somebody that has truly been saved, their life has been changed. That inner dwelling of the Holy Spirit will start doing something in your life that you know that if you are not serving the Lord, the one that has redeemed you from hell, the one that has bought you out of bondage, you will know that if you are not doing something for Him, that you're just not right. The Holy Spirit will be that seed within you that begins to grow. You see, when somebody as big as God touches your life and moves into your life, it will have an effect on your life. I'm bothered by these folks who say they've been saved, maybe for an extended period of time, or maybe even just for a little while, but yet God has not done any work in their life. God has not affected their life. Friends, somebody as big as God, as mighty as God, He is going to affect your life. You're going to desire to interact with Him and His work. Now, every type of service to God, it may not be for you. You may have to try several different things, and some of us have, to try to find what God's actual plan is for your life, and that's okay. That's all a part of the process. God's call for your life in service may not be changing diapers in the nursery. Thank God for that. But I tell you what, you sure can clean some toys. You sure can bring some cookies and crackers to fill up the nursery stock with if need be. Your calling in life, your service to God, may not be dealing with snotty-nosed little youngins in children's church or in Bible school or whatever it may be. Friends, you sure can pray for them. You sure can be somebody that buys some candy for their activities that comes up. Your calling in life and service to the Lord may not be dealing with a bunch of hard-headed teenagers. Aren't they such a blessing? It may not be that way. And I tell you what, you can sure pray for those that are. You can be an example in front of these young people that they see somebody in your life that they want to be like for the glory of God. Your calling in life may not be to teach Sunday school. You can bring some donuts. You can get here early. You can make sure the room is ready to go. The podium is set up. You can make sure everybody's got their coffee there. Your calling may not be to preach the Word of God. But you can faithfully attend every service that the church is open so that you are energetically smiling and cheering on the ones who are, so there's never a measure of discouragement that ever falls within their lives. Whatever your rank of service may be, God has given you something to do. And if you do not find it, you are not in the will of God. We cannot be in the will of God. Somebody that has been saved by the Lord's grace, they will desire to find it. They will desire to use that gift, and they will desire to be coupled up together with God in it. Think about it. Can you tell me one thing in this life that's greater than just serving Jesus? Making a difference in this world. I'm talking about eternal things here. All this stuff's going to pass away. That moment we walk into the gates, it's not going to matter all these battles we're fighting. It's just not going to matter. We're all fighting them. It's not going to matter. Just imagine, we are investing in eternal matters. The gold of glory, the silver on the other side, our investments, they are eternal investments. Our Lord here says, take my yoke upon you, meaning that the nail-scarred hand of a righteous God is reaching out to us with the yoke, coupling, desiring to couple together with you and I in the great work of the gospel for our age. I wonder today, will we take hold of that yoke that He is sending out to us? This proposed endeavor He wants us to be involved in, will we leave Him hanging? Will we reject that work that He wants us to do? A proposed endeavor. I tell you, when we study this Scripture, we also see right here, there's a pursued education. There's a pursued education. 29, verse 29 further. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Do you see that? And learn of me. It's so easy for us just to read through the Scripture. You know, Brother Hayden, read through the Scripture and bypass words like those four that I just read and learn of me. Now, there's not much that's been written on those four words. I looked in several different sources. And it really kind of surprised me a little bit about that, because the truth of the matter is, this is the backbone of Christian growth and discipleship. Learn of me. Now, it's important for us to point out right here, we look at this, take my yoke upon you. Now, somebody tell me the next word. And. Take my yoke upon you and. Do you see how those two things go together? We have got to embark on the endeavor that God has given us. But when we embark in the endeavor that God has given us, we will then begin educating ourselves on who God wants us to be, how He wants us to serve Him, and what He wants us to mold our lives into for His glory. What He is telling us with that word and is, you really can't have one without the other. One feeds off of the other. Take my yoke. Do the work that I've called you to do. But as you do, I want you to learn of me. You start working for God, you're going to start learning some things about Him you could have never imagined before. That word learn that we see used right here, the word actually means to be increased in knowledge. I think we all understand that. To be increased in knowledge. I wonder today how many of us really need to have our knowledge increased of our Lord. I sure do. I hunger for it. I desire to know more about God. He's saying right here, we can. learn of me. He wants us to know more about Him. That word, it is giving the idea of learning more about God by inquiry or observation. By inquiry of observation, you may ask Brother John, what exactly is that referring to? What do you mean by inquiry or observation? Well, when you run across something in the Word of God that you may not fully understand, ask somebody who may have an answer for you. Inquire about it. Furthermore, when you observe something in the life of another known believer, you know they're saved, and when you observe something in their life, though you may not understand it, though you may not at first glance necessarily even agree with it, though it may be something that you may have never considered before, ask them about it. Ask them and say, why is it that you do this? Why is it that you act this way? Why is it that you don't do this or you don't go to this particular place? Observation. Keep your eyes open, watching other saints of God. This is why it's so important that we as the child of God live a life that is right with God, because there are people out there who are watching us. When Jesus said, learn of me, He is saying, keep your Bible open to understand what I am doing. And then He's saying, keep your eyes open to understand what other believers are doing. And when the Bible matches up with the believer, or the believer matches up with the Bible, then keep your heart open to understand that may be what I want you to do. And that's where many of us miss it. We miss that because our heart does not want to fall in line with everything God may want us to do. Our flesh, it just fights that battle, doesn't it? And we may not entirely want that in every way. Friends, you go to studying the Word of God. You go to sanctifying your life. God is going to begin to refine you into something that you could have never imagined your life would ever be for Him. And when you get around the people of God, this is why it's important to stay around the people of God. Stay in church. Stay in a good environment in school, Christian or otherwise. Stay in a good environment in school. Make sure you only have good friends, mom and dad. Make sure your children are only hanging around with people that are going to be a good influence, because they ought to be seeing things that they need to observe to make them learn more about God. And when you see things that they're not going to learn about God, we're in violation of the Word of God by allowing them to be there. We've got to be observing these things to know more about the Lord. Now listen closely. Part of educating ourselves on the things of God is simply understanding that not everything that everyone does is always right. Not everything that every professing Christian does is always right. Now, again, I want to be gracious, but yes, ladies and gentlemen, there are some hypocrites out there. Yes, there are some frauds out there. We're going to look at some of that tonight. Yes, there are some carnal, hard-headed, half-hearted, professing Christians that are out there, but we cannot be detoured. We cannot be distracted by them. This is why it is so important that we cross-check everything in the life of the believer with the Bible, and when they both line up, the Lord is saying, these are things you may need to do in your life to learn more about who I am and who I want you to be in your life for me. It's a process of sanctification. Becoming more like Him, inquiring and observing, learning how to be like Jesus. You will never get the ribbon for first place of being like Christ on this life, saying that you have arrived to it. In other words, there is no finish line in this life of sanctifying ourselves to Him. We're all on this journey together. That's why I go out of my way to let us know, hey, there's not one greater, there's not one less among us. We're nothing but a bunch of rotten, hell-deserving, hell-bound sinners we were. But God's grace has changed our lives. It's a process. We're learning to be more like Christ. But once we have accepted the invitation that was extended to us, and then once that we have interacted, we had the interaction that is expected. God expects it. He does. God expects us to serve Him, and we're not right with Him if we're not. It will be then that we will have the inspiration that is exhibited. The inspiration that is exhibited. When we start serving and becoming more like our precious Lord. We will be inspired. We will. We will be inspired by just how good He's been to us. Joel was just saying. Start learning about God. We're going to understand how good He's been to us. We're going to start worshiping Him in a very real way. And we're going to start understanding how sweet He is along this journey that we're on today. Until we make it home, how good He is and how sweet that He is in it. But think first of all about how He shows us right here that He is a marvelous Lord. I love the wording that He gives us. He just points to being a marvelous Lord. Verse number 29, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." Do you see right there how He paints a picture of who He really is? It's here that our marvelous Lord, He gives us just a little bit of a glimpse of His marvelous heart. Can you imagine how big the heart of God is? You ever heard somebody say, "Oh, they got a big heart"? Sure they do. I know some people that have that gift. They have a big heart. My sister, she has got the gift of having a big heart. She just loves folks, and she'll give anything she can. Just has a good heart. A big heart is here. We see the heart of God. You imagine how big the heart of God is. To suffer, bleed, and die for us, that's big enough. But just even to keep on loving us. Keep on showing His love and His mercy for us day by day. We look back at the context of the Scripture. We learn that one of the reasons that Jesus was rejected by the Jews was because they were not interested in having a meek and a lowly king. And Jesus proved over and over again, that's exactly who they were. He was. They weren't interested in a meek and a lowly king. They were interested in a mighty king. They were interested in a militaristic type king. Somebody that was going to come and crush their enemies and eliminate all of the force and all of the rule that Rome had over them and set up the new world empire in Jerusalem under Jewish rule. That's the king they were looking for. They didn't want a meek and lowly king that was just going to bow to the Romans, that was just going to give in himself to everybody else. Now, we all know by studying the Word of God, by studying Scripture, because it teaches us, especially in prophetic times, it teaches us that we serve a God of such authority. But I am so thankful that in this age of grace, He is a meek. He is a lowly king. A meek and a lowly God, desiring the sinner to be saved, the saint to be sanctified in His work, desiring us to be satisfied with everything that He is giving to us. Jesus said in verse number 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." It is a picture of sanctification. But friends, when we do that, He then gives us the golden nugget to what every one of us in here today are struggling with. Not one of us is likely exempt in any way to what our Lord tells us about in verse number 29. He says, "And ye shall find rest for your soul." Remember now, He's dealing with a saint of God. Verse 28, He was dealing with a matter of salvation coming to me. Verse 29, He's dealing with a saint of God. "You shall find rest to your soul." I wonder how many of us today just need some rest for our soul. We just wore out. We just beat up. Serving God has been so discouraging in ways, and I say that in the appropriate way, not that, and we'll see in a second, not that God discourages us, but just the weight of the burden sometimes, and I tell you, that'll trickle over into our daily lives, and before long, we find ourselves living in a state of depression. We find ourselves in a spot where we just need some rest for our soul. Imagine if we were honest, that's where many of us are right now. Think of these verses this way, if you could. When we got saved, how many are saved? Say amen. When we got saved, think of it, Christ gave us rest. But when we get sanctified, we find that rest. We find that deeper rest, that rest of surrender, that rest of obedience. We notice in verse number 29, He says, "And ye shall find rest." In other words, it's not just going to come to us. ye shall find this rest. You got to work to find the rest of God. This matter of getting saved, your rest didn't go automatically come to you. We'll see in a second. I tell you what, you got to work. You've got to bypass this matter of sanctification or salvation, moving into the life of sanctification. And it is then that we will find rest for our soul. The reason most of us today are so beat up, so stressed out, so overwhelmed by the circumstances of life, even in the service of God, it is not because the rest of God is not there. It is because you and I have never embarked on the endeavor. We have never sought to educate ourselves deeper in the things of God to really know how to access the rest of God. Someone said it this way, it struck me, the rest of salvation is peace with God. Write this down. The rest of salvation is peace with God, but the rest of sanctification, it is the peace of God. Can I say it again? The rest of salvation is peace with God. He comes in, He gives us a peace. We know we're secure. But the rest of sanctification is the peace of God, knowing we're living for God. We're learning more about Him. He inspires us here just by letting us know, hey, I am a marvelous God. A marvelous Lord. When we really learn how much of a marvelous Lord He is, it's then that we'll find a manageable load. How many of you need help from the Word of God today? Say amen. It's what I want you to see from God's Word. A manageable load. We've now moved in our study into verse number 30. Do not miss this. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now you have to look carefully at the construction of the Scripture. Word by word. I always tell you, study the words. He says, for my, you see it, my, it's His. My yoke. Coupling together with Him, if you couple up with God, He's the one, still His yoke. He's the one that's still in charge of it. For my yoke is easy, and, ooh, what is this? My burden is light. My burden is light. Now, what the Lord just said to us on the pages of His holy word, inspired word, is contrary to the way the vast majority of professing believers who are deep in the service of God and the stress of that is flowing over into other areas of our life, it is contrary to how most of us feel right now. We do not feel the yoke is easy. We do not feel the burden is light. We do not feel this journey that we on is just a bed of roses, and it isn't always. Now, I want every one of you here today that are involved in service in this church or in service to the Lord in any other facet of the work of God, I want you to listen very, very cautiously and closely to me. If we are easily beat down, if we are easily stressed out and overwhelmed with the service that we are doing to God, and it is flowing over into the rest of our daily lives. If we are dealing with all of this thing, I want us to understand we are doing something somewhere terribly wrong. And that is affecting the productivity we're going to have for God in the results that we're trying to do for Him. It actually takes us back to our previous thought that we were talking about of a proposed endeavor. In other words, the gift of service that God actually gives to us. What God has gifted each one of us to do is very real. And He has that gift of service. You see, sometimes if you're anything like me, we with good intentions, we allow the devil to drive our emotions. We allow the devil to drive our personal passions into fraudulently convincing us that God has called us to do something or gifted us into the means by which we think He has called us into the service of. Boy, we start, we dig deep into the work of God. We're passionate about it. We start going at 100 miles an hour in it. And that's great. That's the way it ought to be. But around every corner, are you with me? Say amen. Around every corner that you turn, every bend in the road of your walk with God, of your service to the Lord, it seems like you get a roadblock. It seems like you hit a dip in the road. Boy, it seems like we just get beat up. We get stressed out. We get overwhelmed with the weight of the burden that we are carrying. Boy, it just shows on our face. It shows in our life. Friends, that's not how God intended it to be. That's not how God designed it to be. When this happens, we need to go back and we need to reevaluate a few things in our life. We need to go back and see if we really are doing what God has called us to do. Or if we're just doing it wrong. Either one is possible. Most of us usually may be doing what God has called us to do. We have a passion in our heart. We may be doing it what God has called us to do. But somewhere along the line, we've not embarked on the endeavor. We've not educated ourselves on it. Therefore, we're doing it wrong. And we're missing what God has for us. Look at it now. Verse 30, the word easy, it means well-fitting. It means fit for use. Now, that's a beautiful statement. Fit for use. In other words, what the Lord is telling us right here is that He has just the right yoke of service that has been custom-made, tailor-made for you, tailor-made for me. When we couple ourselves together with His endeavor, and then we educate ourselves on the vision that He has for our lives and the vision that He has for the work that we are endeavoring in, we will learn that the work and the will of God will not be heavier than we're able to bear. We will learn that God's going to carry that for us. We will learn that He's going to make sure we do not collapse under it. Most of us forget, ladies and gentlemen, that He is the one on the other side of the yoke. And He is the one who carries the bulk of the weight of the load. Our responsibility and our blessing that even comes from it is just to sit back and hold up the ropes and let Him carry the bulk of the burden and the bulk of the load. And let's just watch what God will do through us by coupling ourselves together with His yoke. I read something not so long ago, and it reminded me of an experience that I had many years ago. When I say many years ago, we're talking probably 20 years ago that this happened to me, or near to it. For my graduation, I think it was for my graduation, my mother bought me a brand new suitcase. Didn't understand it when she got it for me. Why are you giving me a suitcase? I was pulling more for a trip around the world. I made it through school. Bought me a brand new suitcase. This was before I was looking when we were in Jamaica. I was looking at some of the suitcases in the airports. This was before they had these temperature controlled compartments where you can keep your coffee and drinks cold as you're traveling. This was before they had USB ports to charge your phones and your tablets built into your suitcase. This was before they really even had wheels on the bottom of suitcases. And you know, those handles that pull out of them to make it easier. You pull it behind you and transport your baggage. It was really even before that was even popular or that was prevalent. I'd gone on a trip. I do not exactly remember where exactly I was, where I was going, but I was returning from the trip. And I'd landed in the Atlanta airport. My car was parked in short-term parking. My bag that I had was packed to capacity. I mean, the maximum amount, which is usually 50 pounds, that the airline will allow you to have. However, my car was parked in long-term parking, but because I'm so incredibly cheap, I did not want to pay the porter. I did not want to get on the shuttle. I did not want to have to rent a cart. I said, I'm just going to carry it. I guess it was in August. It's hot enough to be August. So here I go carrying my packed to capacity, I'm assuming about 50-pound bag. It seemed 117 miles from the terminal to where the long-term parking lot was. Probably it was only about a quarter of a mile. It is in the dead of summer. By the time that I was approaching the gate of the long-term parking lot, my body was shaking. I was drenched in sweat. And as I approached the gate, I noticed that the gate guards, you know how sometimes they used to have, now it's all electronic, but they used to have a gate guard there to give your ticket to so you could go in and, you know, you could pay your bill and all that kind of stuff. As I approached the gate, I noticed the gate guard, the attendant there, was looking at me strange. And as I approached, maybe from here to the front row, he looked at me. I was just going to walk by and go to my car. He looked at me and he said, "Man, why don't you just roll that suitcase?" I looked down and lo and behold, my suitcase did not have a built-in USB port. My suitcase did not have the thermal things. The suitcase Mama bought me did have the wheels. Had the retractable handle that came up. Same suitcase we still have. Talking about feeling like an idiot. Idiot. I nearly punched my own self in the face. That's how stupid I felt. I looked at him and said, "I know. Just need some exercise, man." And I did. For a quarter mile, I was switching hands. This one would wear out, this one would wear out. I'd go hand to hand, quarter mile. I was carrying a burden that I could have been rolling the whole time. The distance was the exact same. The weight of the burden was the exact same. The size of the burden was the exact same. But I noticed that when I started rolling the burden that I had been carrying, my body did not go to shaking. I did not break out into a sweat. Why? Because I was carrying the burden, brother, the way the designer intended it to be carried. You see, many of us here today, we are walking through our lives with God and we are doing everything that we can to be able to make it. The work we're doing for God, it is stressing us out. It is wearing us out. It is spilling over. We're angry at our family. We're touchy with everybody else. I mean, the stress is overwhelming to us and we just don't feel like going on anymore. That's the story of many of our lives on a daily basis. God help us to realize we are not carrying the burdens that we have in this life the way our Creator, our Designer intended them to be carried. Come on, Sister Mickey. You know what the Lord is saying in these verses ultimately to us? He's saying, "I'm your wheels." He's saying, "I'm your wheels." These burdens that you're carrying, these burdens that you're carrying, these burdens that you're carrying and you're carrying and you're carrying and all through this building, you over here are carrying. Whether you're lost and you need a Savior, or whether you're just so weighed down with the burdens of life right now, can I just remind us that we're trying to carry a burden that we ought to be rolling? Jesus is saying, "Let me be your wheels. Let me carry this and bear the weight of the yoke. You're doing it for me. If you let me do it my way, you will not collapse under the burden." And if you're here today and you feel like you're collapsing under the burden, can I just graciously tell us we're not doing it His way, the way the Creator intended it to be. Would you rise to your feet with me, please, quietly and reverently in the house of God? I've tried to tell you what the Bible says about Matthew chapter 11 in these verses 28 to 30. Now it's time for us to respond. How many of us today are in that very spot? The weight of the burden seems so heavy. Maybe it is in the service of God. Maybe it is something that's going on in our daily lives. but it just seems so heavy. You need some R&R today. The Lord says, I'll give you R&R. I'll give you rest. I'll give you recovery. You've got to endeavor. You've got to educate yourself on me. I'll be your wheels. I'll help you carry your burden. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The first thing that I talked to you about was this matter of salvation. The picture that verse 28 is giving us of the salvation of God. I look across this building right now and I wonder today, how many of you know without any doubt and without any question that you're saved? You're on your way to heaven. My hand is up. Can you raise yours with absolute confidence? You remember that day when your burden of sin was lifted. Thank you for that. You can put it down. You remember that day. Could I ask you if you don't remember that day? And I don't remember mean the particular day. I mean the moment. That encounter you had with God where you gave yourself to Him. Could I ask you just to look at me? If you're not certain that heaven would be your home, just look at me. Let your eyes meet mine. I just want to pray for you. That's all. The Lord sees every heart. All you have to do is come to Christ.